1-800-449-8686.
So I got this doll, and it was manufactured by the Andgore Toy Company in Longwood, Florida. And I got a letter from Samuel Gordich, and he is the president. I imagine he's one half of Andgore, and the other half is someone whose last name starts with Ann. And anyway, I got this doll. It looks just like me, and there's something frightening about that. I don't know if you've ever... Well, this is a stupid question. Have you ever had a doll made that looks like you? Probably few of us have ever had that compliment paid to them, but I have this doll that was made by these fine people in Florida, and I say made because it's got my face. He I don't know what he did. He got a picture and had this manufactured. It had the mold cast, and it's me. And the only problem is the body on this thing. This is the most fit doll. It's got the Ken and Barbie fame body. You know, flat stomach, big shoulders, big arms. Everything's big, and that ain't me. If this was going to be anatomically correct, there's a big gut on me that has to be rendered there. So this is a doll, and it's scary because I've never seen a doll that looked like me or one that was made to look like me, and you begin to understand voodoo. You begin to understand that whole problem that they have in the Caribbean, that whole problem. Just as they're ready to pull a country out of the inexorable decline, economic as well as cultural as well as political, just when they're beginning to sort of turn things around in the Caribbean, well, they have voodoo. They got the Tonton Macoot, some guy throwing bones around a fire, and they can never get anything good. Nothing gets done. Haiti, I don't care what the country is. You know, am I saying that people are superstitious? Am I saying they're backward? Am I saying they're primitive? I am saying that there is some clash of culture. It's going on in the whole world. Clash of culture. That's the name of the game these days in the whole world. We're doing things our way. They're doing things their way. They don't want to do it our way. We don't want to do it their way. That's what's going on right now. You know, look at these guys in the Middle East. Well, they want to sit in a cave and they want to read the Quran and beat their chest and bleed from the palms or whatever they do. And we want to go to ball games. We want to drink beer. We want to eat dogs. We want to go to ball games. And there's a whole clash. Now, down in the Caribbean, where you have countries, nations, small island states that are run primarily by the descendants of freed slaves. All right, Haiti, for instance. Haiti came about because of a slave revolt. Those cats don't want to be. They ought to be back in. I'm saying this. They probably would do better if they were back in Africa. In other words, they're going, what are we doing here now? So what are we supposed to do? You can have democracy. Where? Here? Say anywhere where I'm from, man. Well, you're here now, so just have a democracy and have fun. Well, what? Screw it. I want to have some of that African stuff going. Where's the voodoo? Let's go. They start jumping around a campfire. So I look at a doll that was manufactured by these fine friends of ours, great listeners of ours in Orlando, Florida. It looks like me, and I start getting scared. I start to get scared. I'm looking at a doll that looks like me, and I'm imagining it making love to my wife. What happens if suddenly it gradually just begins to take over my life? Just imagine a doll that looks like you. Suddenly you come downstairs one day for breakfast, and it's sitting in your chair. Drinking your coffee. It's not saying anything. It's just sitting there. And there's a cup of coffee, just a steaming cup of coffee sitting on the table in front of it. And a bowl of your cereal. And your wife is sitting there. Well, how you doing, honey? Fine. What's the doll doing sitting on that chair? Oh, yeah, I thought you were there. No, it's not me. It's a doll. It's like Chucky, too. That whole Talking Tina thing. Those of us old enough remember the Twilight Zone with Talking Tina. This was a brilliant Twilight Zone produced by Rod Serling. I don't know who wrote it, but it was about a doll that the man's daughter got for Christmas. And he hated this thing because he had a very strange relationship with his stepdaughter anyway. It was a stepdaughter, let's be clear. I don't think she was the real father. Oh, yes, he was the real father. Telly Savalas played the father. And he didn't dig. He was an angry man. He was an upset man about a lot of things in life. And anyway, the doll would tell the little girl, my name's Talking Tina, and I love you. And then she'd look at Telly Savalas and go, my name's Talking Tina. I don't love you. So and gradually the doll would get creepier and creepier. At one point, he takes the doll's head, sticks it in a vise, and takes a blowtorch to it, and it won't burn or anything. And when the wife comes down the stairs and says, why are you doing that to the doll? He goes, I don't like the things it says. Did you ever see this? It was great. Scary as hell. See, it all goes back to, I don't know what it goes back to, but there was also a short story called The Small Assassin. Most recently, Child's Play with Chucky. And then there was one with Karen Black, some miniature doll. Little dolls terrorizing human beings have been a part of the cultural language for at least 50, 60 years. And then finally the doll says, my name's Tina, I'm going to kill you. It was a little black doll, in fact. My name's Tina, I'm going to kill you. No, it was... So that's why I said, I got this doll, I'm afraid the thing's going to start to make love to my wife and take over my life. But other than that, I'm healthy. Hi, I'm Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The other question we have for you this evening, if you'll help us, who's listening to us right now live? Give us a call. Just call right now, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the show live right now because we do have our program tape delayed in some parts of the country. 1-800-449-8686. No, I'm not bringing this doll home. I'm keeping it here at work. That way, if it shows up at my house, then I know there's a serious problem. See what I'm saying? If the thing is left here in my office and I leave, then I know it's in my... And then if it shows up at my house, then I know I'm going to get a gun and some pliers. Then you'll see me, like Telly Savalas, I'll be in my garage with pliers and a blowtorch. Very simple. Let me talk to John. Hi, John. Where are you at today?
San Jose, California. Phil.
Really? And, John, what station are you listening to us on?
I know the call letters are 1080, but I'm not sure what or the call numbers are. I don't know what the call letters are.
I wonder if that's out of our friends in Monterey.
I think it's Sacramento, actually.
1080 in Sacramento.
Or Santa Cruz.
What doesn't ring a bell. Santa Cruz. All right, pal. Thank you very much.
Not a problem.
All right. Lewis, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I know you're listening to us on KALL in Salt Lake, right?
That's right.
Very good. Thanks, pal. Hey, Richard? Richard?
Yeah, Phil.
Now, are you, what station are you listening to us on?
We're listening to you up here on KSCO in Santa Cruz.
And what's the frequency?
1080 kilohertz.
That's the one the guy was listening to us on in San Jose. Thank you very much. Okay, so we just had Salt Lake. We got Northern California. I got Houston. I got Tampa. Keep them coming. 1-800-449-8686. The reason why I say, just so you know, we are curious as to know who runs us tape delay and who runs us live. And I know we have Miami and Tampa, Houston, and a number of them. And I know my very good friends in Los Angeles run us on tape delay. And then there is our dear friends in San Antonio who are running us even an hour later. And then there's our really dear, dear, sweet, sweet friends in Atlanta who run us way late. And then our, oh, God, I'm tight with these cats in Orlando, by the way, where I got the doll. And they run us at 3 in the morning. So they're just great. Here is Galen. How are you? Galen?
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Just fine, thanks.
What station are you listening to us on?
WAEB in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
And you're in Allentown, and that's outside of Philadelphia, isn't it?
North, about 50 miles north.
About 50 miles north of Philadelphia in Allentown this evening. Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. So anyway, getting back to the doll, if I come home tonight and I see this thing in my bed... Blowtorch and pliers. I'll be like Ving Rhames in Pulp Fiction. I'm going to get myself a couple of pipe-hitting Negro with a blowtorch and a pair of pliers. I'm put homeboy to the test here. That was pretty evil, wasn't it? When Ving Rhames laid that whole monologue out of what he was going to do to that redneck with two pipe-hitting, and I want to use the N-word, N-words. I'm going to have two pipe-hitting N-words. And I'm going to get me a pair of pliers and a blowtorch. You're going to put it to that redneck. Well, that's what I'm going to do to this doll if I find it in my bed tonight when it ought to be here in my office 30 miles away. I'm Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
800-989-8686. The Bill Hendry Show is back.
And now, things we heard the referee say in yesterday's playoff games. We'll get out of the field now and see what the ref has to say.
Holding number 23. This guy really sucks. I mean, you should have seen what he grabbed the guy and pulled him to the ground, so that's a hold. Forget it. Also, I'd like to say at this time, while I have your attention...
Get off the field.
Get away from me. My wife, Candace, is having an affair with my accountant. First down.
And now there's another penalty on the field. Let's go down to the field and hear what the ref has to say.
Illegal procedure. Left tackle moved when the ball... And I'll tell you right now, he is about 300 pounds of turd, this guy. He moves again, he's out of here. And I take any more lip from him, and I would like to say also at this time...
Get him off the field.
No, no. I don't like black people. And first down.
All right, there's another penalty, and let's hear what referee Arnie Spann has to say. Arnie?
Defensive holding, number 22, on the return. The penalty will be assessed on the kickoff. Also, I'm not a big fan of Jews. So what do you think of...
Damn racist. And another penalty. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Defensive pass interference. Face blocking. 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. You know, my father never gave a crap about me. Never gave a crap about...
All right, our crowd noise has gone away. Oh, there it is.
I want all you people out of here. Get out of here. That's what I want. All of you out of here. Bug off. All right, now come back. Now go get a beer. All right, you're done with your beer. Come back.
And another penalty. Let's hear what he has to say.
On the replay, the challenge is, was the fumble after the ball hit the ground on contact. I cannot tell whether or not the ball... Now, come on, you people, hold on. I can't tell. I'm looking at the replay monitor, you piece of crap. You people don't know how difficult it is to referee a game, and you can sit up there all high and mighty, you bunch of redneck, inbred assholes. First down. Offensive pass interference. The player pushed off of the defensive player while attempting to make the catch. And I'll tell you right now, I have bleeding hemorrhoids. What do you think of that? Oh, you don't want to hear that, do you? You just want to hear what I got to say about that play. What? Coach's challenge? Take that red flag and jam it. Because you know, you don't get to have a coach's... No, you don't. You're not going to... You don't get to have a coach's challenge. I'm not going to review it.
I demand that you review that play.
I'm not going to do it. Get... Ow! Yeah, how do you like that, huh? I'm the referee of the game. Me! I run things. Come out here with your coach's challenge. All you people, shut up!
All right. Now, anyway... Yes, things overheard in yesterday's game.
We have offsetting penalties. The offense...
Yeah, thank you.
We have offsetting... Okay. Offsetting penalties. The offense was penalized. The defense. And the pool boy is screwing my wife. Now...
Oh, is that the end of the bit?
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
So that's some of the stuff that I heard during the game yesterday. I don't know if you've heard anything similar. Those refs, when they have that mic, they don't know what power they got. When they turn that microphone on and they go, holding, number 20, they can just say stuff. They can say, by the way, Pat Summerall, I'm glad you're retiring. How about that? They take so much abuse. I saw a game last year. It was a baseball game, not a football game. It was a baseball game. Some big fat slob, I think, plays for the Chicago Bears, was up in the press box at a Chicago Cub game. And he had the microphone. I guess, you know, that microphone they used to give to Harry Carey to sing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game song. There's always a mic, a live mic up there in the press box at Cub games in Chicago. So this slob grabs the mic and says something about the umpire. Like, I'm going to have a talk with that umpire like he's not doing a good job, right? Now, Major League umpires are not like football referees. First of all, Major League umpires are a union officials. They belong to a union. They're full-time employees. And frankly, they don't take any crap at all. They don't take any crap at all. A football referee pretty much takes more abuse than any other official in sports, especially an NFL football referee. Called every name in the book. He has his parentage questioned. He has his offspring questioned. He has, you know, his sexual orientation under a microscope. He is the biggest piece of scum that ever walked the face of the earth. A baseball umpire doesn't take that crap. And when this guy opened his mouth at that Cub game, the ump took his mask off, walked over to the railing where the seats were, and stared up at the press box. And apparently had a talk with this guy. Because that's the last you heard him open his big fat mouth. That's the last you heard out of this guy. Now, isn't that something to admire? Come on, be honest. Most of you guys love the officials. Most of you, that New England game yesterday, notwithstanding, most of you love the official. That New England game yesterday, I don't know whether that guy knew whether he was coming or going, man. There were 15 coaches challenges, and there were, that guy had his kisser stuck in that monitor, like, throughout most of the first half. He was looking at replay after replay when the guy had a ball. Some of the most bonehead calls you ever heard in your life. But I don't blame the guy. The guy's dealing with a bad rule book, just like that Raider game from a week ago, and get over it already. And hockey, I think the refs ought to start fighting in hockey. I think the refs ought to start just wailing away on some of those guys. If the players are allowed to fight each other, why wouldn't the refs be allowed to fight the players? Oh, you're saying the players would kick ass on those refs? Well, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. If the refs had a couple of hockey sticks going for them. Hockey is like ridiculous beyond words. And I know they're taking steps to clean it up and everything out. Look, would you just quit trying to sell that game to the rest of us? Go up there on the ice pond during the wintertime, man. Stick that, put that little ice fishing boat out there, or that ice fishing house. Stick the hole in the ground. Stick your thing in the ground. Watch your ice, or watch your fish coming, whatever the hell you do. Does the fish come up in an ice cube already frozen? Maybe it comes up already filleted. I don't know what it is. That's a whole culture and a whole part of the world I don't want to know nothing about. Snow. All right, here's where we are on live. Thank you very much to Chris Pelton for giving us this information. As of 28 minutes after the hour, Houston, Santa Cruz, Boca, Houston, Brooklyn, Maine, Fargo, North Dakota, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, Wichita, Kansas, Waterville, Maine, Evanston, Wyoming, New Haven, Connecticut, El Paso, Wallingford, Connecticut, Lake Charles, Louisiana, West Palm Beach, Monterey, California, Baytown, Texas, sometimes. Now, what does that mean, sometimes? We don't know. I know what it means. It means we're preempted for sports. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I just love the fact that we're preempted for sports, but I will also say I understand. I certainly understand if you want to preempt me for sports. I get it. It's a weird show, and it takes some getting used to. And some days you have to decompress the audience by throwing a little Houston Rocket basketball on there, a little Miami Heat basketball. Because after all, the Heat, let's see, what are they, last place? No, seriously, I know they're having a tough time. Pat Riley, you're doing a great job. We'll see you back in L.A. real soon. Anyway, Kingman, Arizona, Oakland Park, Florida, Stamford, Connecticut, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, Corvallis, Oregon. Corvallis? Vienna, Maine, Vienna, Austria, Moscow, Beijing, China, and Havana, Cuba. I want to thank all of our great listeners down there in Havana. And also Little Rock, Arkansas. And our new affiliate, by the way, Vladivostok, the Soviet, former Soviet Union. And we'd also like to welcome all of our listeners in the Czech Republic and those great cats and kittens in Slovenia. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Radio Network. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
There's an American journalist that's been taken hostage by some group in Pakistan, probably Al-Qaeda. They call themselves the Society for the Cleansing of the Bowels or something. I don't know. Society for Lower Colon Cleansing through the Quran. Oh, you say that I'm being disrespectful and that I'm being blaspheming? Well, these guys are the ones that are taking the hostages, man, not me. But it's some organization, let's just call it what it is, Al-Qaeda. There's like five Al-Qaeda guys left, and they took this guy hostage. I wonder, and he's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, can I ask you a question? You go out, and you do a job, and you get taken hostage, okay? Forget about whether you're going to get workman's comp, or disability, or whatever you want to call it. Have you got a lawsuit against your employer? Well, if the Wall Street Journal sends a reporter to the Middle East, or to South Asia, to this theater, and the guy gets taken hostage by some group. Now, this is a violent, dangerous part of the world right now. There are gunmen and paramilitary organizations and lone wolves and terrorist groups and all manner of outlaw and scofflaw operating in that part of the world. You get taken hostage by one of these groups, or you are otherwise put in harm's way, don't you think your family has an enormous lawsuit against your employer? Didn't they? What are you telling me? The guy is freelancing? Says he works for the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal, like they didn't know that he was there? Guy didn't fly himself to Pakistan. He didn't fly himself to Afghanistan. He's over there. Not that it's any sweat off of anybody. It's a very interesting, in case this network ever sends me to Afghanistan, I'd like to know that I have a very healthy lawsuit. Just want my bosses to know, if you ever send me to Pakistan, I'll sue you. That's basically what I'm trying to say, okay? If you ever want me to do my show from Islamabad, I'm going to sue, all right? Meanwhile, they say they're going to kill this guy if we don't release the detainees, or we do something good to the Al-Qaeda guys that we've got, that we're holding as hostage. You know, a lot of things changed after 9/11, and I guess the rest of the world really didn't wake up to some of them. People are very slow to come around to a couple of things. One of the things that they're slow to come around to is that this is a whole different country than it was 6 months or a year ago. The United States is a completely different place. There is no way, unless I miss my guess, there's no way that this guy is going to be bargained for, and I feel terrible saying this, but he's a dead man. This Wall Street Journal reporter is a dead man, because we're not letting any of this Al-Qaeda scumbag loose. We're not letting these guys out. We're not letting anybody loose in this country. We're not going to let their families and their lawyers and do all of this stuff. And these guys ain't prisoners of war. These are scumbags that weren't wearing uniforms. They're common scofflaw, outlaw, murdering criminals. And we're dealing with them the way that, well, how do you deal with them when they're not American citizens? They're not on American soil. They're just they're like in limbo. Well, you get to do whatever you want to do with them, which is exactly what we're doing. We're keeping them in a cage. We let them take a bath whenever we feel like it. We'll feed them when we feel like it. And what are you going to do about it? That's basically it. See, it's a whole different country now. It's a whole different world. Saudi Arabia. Guess what we just said to them? Did you hear the latest? Oh, you don't like our women not wearing veils? Well, guess what? They're not going to wear veils anyway. You going to cut off our oil? Well, maybe we'll just push the button and turn you guys into an oil slick, too. We're in the mood for it. Do you understand what's going on? Don't you get it yet? Do you get it? Do you get it? Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, all those countries down there. We are in the mood right now to get those silos open up a little bit and just send a couple over there just to see if they're on trajectory. Just to see if Eddie lined them up good like he said he would last week before he split for the golf tournament. Did you get those things lined up I don't know. Well, we're going to have to launch one toward Riyadh, man. Just make sure. Oh, there it goes. There's the mushroom cloud now. Thank you. That's the mood that we're in as a country. You think this old school stuff of, well, we'll take a hostage and then they'll bargain for it. No. You don't get it, man. You don't get it. That Wall Street Journal reporter, he's a dead man. He's dead. Now, the only thing that you can hope for is that if you do anything to that man, that we don't just decide that some of these detainees down at Guantanamo, or whatever it's called, Guantanamero, is that the place? Or that was the song, Guantanamo. I keep thinking it's the song. Guantanamera. Yes. What is it, a love song about a military base? What do you... I know, it's Guantanamo, and the song is Guantanamera. Anyway, maybe a couple of these detainees go missing. What do you think of that? Like, what, is there a mother or a father that knows that their poor little boy is down there in Guantanamo and he's having to wear an orange jumpsuit? Oh, the humiliation of it all. Oh, God, how horrible. The guy's only allowed to bathe once a day. Why, it used to be he was bailing every, oh, say, 6 months he was getting himself a bath. That was fine. American Red Cross is going to go down there and say, you realize what you're doing to these men? What? You're making them bathe every day. And you took away the lice in that guy's beard. Don't you know he'd been cultivating that lice for years? You brutal bastards. They kill this reporter. Well, maybe we'll just grease a couple of these guys down in Guantanamo. Maybe we'll just stage an uprising. Maybe we'll just leave a gate open where one of them wants to walk out and just popped one in the back. What do you think of that? That's the mood that this country is in. That's why right after 9-11, when I used to get these phone calls from people, they were from Egypt or Saudi Arabia, we get the calls from the people, well, you know, Mr. Henry, there's a reason why 9-11 happened. Yeah, well, we're not interested anymore. Don't you, you don't see the handwriting on the wall, do you? We don't care anymore. We used to. We don't anymore. Yeah, we used to care all about how terrible it was and the exploitation and the terrible Jews and the whole Zion thing and the Palestinians this and the Palestinians that. Well, guess what? We don't care because you don't care. You're bullcrap. You're Al-Qaeda bullcrap. It's got nothing to do with Palestinians. You couldn't care less whether all of those people died tomorrow. All you want to do is you're just pissed off because we got soap and you don't. That's the bottom line. If you want to get right down to it, you want to know why they hate us in the Middle East? Because we're able to bathe every day and they're not. Not that they'd do it if they could. We have indoor plumbing and they don't. We have microwaves and they don't. We got television and they don't. We have really cool, like, video games and they don't. We take ski vacations and they can't. And we get to go to Mexico and kick back on the beach. We do tequila shots. We shoot pool. We have a good time with our lives. And we have jobs that we like and they don't. That's the reason why the World Trade Center got flown into by them guys, because they can't stand the fact that we got it and they don't have it. They're so pissed off they're taking our reporters hostage. They tried all these old shop-worn tactics from about 10, 15 years ago. They're going to take a guy hostage and think that we're going to deal for him. He's gone, man. I'd hate to be that guy. Just make a run for it, dude. Make a run for it. You know, if you get shot in the back, it just shows you what kind of people you're dealing with, you know? And, of course, let's talk about hijacking airplanes. Well, you know what? There ain't a hijacker around stupid enough to pull anything now. There ain't no guy that's going to light his shoes on fire. I know that. Last guy to try to light his shoes on fire got his ass kicked. I got a feeling anybody tries anything in an airplane now, they're just going to open the door and just throw them out. I say from now on, the airliners fly about 5,000 feet, so that we do get a hijacker. We won't even bother with the cops. We'll just open the door and we'll pitch you out. What happened to him? Oh, you know what? He fell. He fell? What do you mean he fell? I don't know. The door was open. I was trying to tether him to his seat, and that's what's going to happen. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show here. We go over to Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi. How are you, Phil?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, I'm really good. I have the biggest crush on you ever.
Wow, that's real nice. No, thank you.
No, I really do. It's the way you handle yourself and the way you think.
How do you know how I handle myself? Where are you at, Kim? You're in Monterey. Oh, you're listening to us up there on the Monterey Peninsula, up there in Pacific Grove?
Exactly.
God, man, I love it up there.
Yeah, the whales, they're blowing.
I went to an El Torito up there, got drunk and rode a bike home, and it was great. The whales? What about the whales? Oh, you're watching the whales today.
Yeah, the whales are right in the bay today.
Is that the coolest? Whale watching. You ever been whale watching?
Yeah.
I've been. I went out on the little boat, and I got scared, and I never went out again. No, they're really beautiful. They're big, and they're beautiful, and they're bold. They're wonderful creatures. And it makes you wonder, hey, you know... like in Miami, they got a place called the Miami Seaquarium, I think is what it's called. And they have a whale that sits in a tank all day long until they open the gate and let it prance up and down for the tourists.
Really?
And yeah, well, didn't you know that whales in their natural habitat just like to sit still for 8 hours at a stretch in the water and bob up and down? They never swim, and they certainly don't go leaping up through the air and smashing down in the water. No, they like to sit in one place and just bob up and down and get sunburned. Next time you go to SeaWorld or any of these other places, just think of, look at how happy that whale is just sitting there bobbing up and down in one place for 8 hours before he gets to take off and bounce a ball off his nose for 3 minutes. All right.
Hey, Phil.
I'm glad I'm doing all the talking.
No.
And another thing. In yesterday's New England game, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you about the Talking Tina doll.
Yeah.
That show left such an impression with me. And did you know that Andorra was actually in that?
Episode? No. You mean Agnes Moorehead?
Yeah.
No, she wasn't in that. She was in the one where she was that woman living alone in the cabin.
Oh, okay.
And the little miniature spaceman attacked her.
That's it.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest Twilight Zones ever because there was no dialogue.
Oh, my God, that was such a great one.
It was cool.
I just had to call you because
I love
listening to you on my way home from work. You have such a great style. And I just think it's great that you're so verbal.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I don't know what she said. Yeah, Andorra, well, you know, forget it. Anyway, did you see the one with Agnes Moorehead with a little miniature spaceman attacked? Yeah, she was a giant. We didn't know she was a giant till the end. All we know is she's being terrorized by these little miniature things, you know, and then she finally goes up on the roof of her house with a broom, and she smashes this little spaceship, and as the camera pans away, it says United States Air Force. So apparently, she's a giant living on some primitive planet, and our astronauts landed and messed with her, and they got their asses kicked with a broom. The entire United States astronaut corps annihilated with a sponge mop.
Just swept away.
1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Henry Show. Here is Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You know, I just wanted to tell you, you say all the things I've been trying to say. I just can't put it into words.
You have the speech impediment?
No.
That's the same problem the guy last hour, you know?
Now you know. Yeah, you say everything I can't say.
Well, that's because you're deaf.
Oh, that's right. I'm on a military base. If I say something like that, man, I
are you talking about the Al-Qaeda thing?
You know, all the stuff.
Oh, those guys.
Like I feel like I have to be walking on eggshells everywhere I go.
Why? Because you live on a military base?
Yeah, I live on a military base.
Are you in the military?
No, but my husband is.
Well, the military, they got to be careful. You know, they got to do what the commander-in-chief says. You can't be running around spouting all kinds of stuff, can you?
I'm the wife, and so I got to be real careful.
But the stuff that I was saying, wouldn't you say that would go over well on a military base?
I would hope. I'm just afraid to say it. You know, I don't want to get involved.
Well, I know what you're saying about taking those Al-Qaeda guys out and popping them one at a time out in the woods.
I'd love to say that, but, you know, who knows who I'm talking to?
Well, let's say it right now. We believe that the United States Marines at Guantanamo should take the Al-Qaeda detainees out one at a time into the woods and cap their asses.
Absolutely.
One at a time in the head, and then dig a don't dig a mass grave. I take that back. Load them all into the back of a truck and parade them around the base for a couple of days.
Absolutely.
Here, this is what we did.
I think we should put them all on a plane.
Now, naturally,
and
I'm kidding.
Fly them over Afghanistan and throw them into their buildings over there.
Yeah, and then we can fly an airplane into it.
There you go.
And you and I can have this little Phil doll pilot the airplane, so that neither you nor I would be hurt. Okay, Beth, it's good. I love you. It's all good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Goodbye. No, of course I wouldn't want us to do that. It would make us look like the animals that they say that we are. But right now, those guys are being treated like kings and queens, mostly like queens. Think of what they got down there. Think of anybody that feels bad for the Al-Qaeda guys down there. They're bathing for the first time in 2 years. They got rid of the lice. They smell halfway decent. They've got a little right guard in their armpits so that people want to actually be around them. They've got those nice, bright orange jumpsuits in case someone wants to run them over with a Jeep. And they'll go, oh, look at that. There's a guy there. And they won't get hit by a Jeep. In case someone wants to run them down with a tank, they got the nice, bright orange jumpsuit. And they won't get run over. They get to sleep on mattresses and stuff. They're down in the sunny tropics. This time of year in Cuba, it's gorgeous. This is hurricane season of summer. Right now, it's about 85 degrees, water temperature about 80 degrees. It's beachy. Now, they got it good. And they don't have to go home tonight and look at a little Phil doll like I do, laying in bed with my wife. I'd like to thank my friend in Orlando once again for that. 1-800-449-86... Candy Crowley, she's losing weight. No, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
From just before we went on vacation, Vernon Dozier was on our show talking about his neighborhood watch group.
Phil Henry's flashback.
If I even thought he was at my daughter's playground looking up her skirt, I would go take care of business.
Now, wait a second.
This guy's a freak, man.
Wait a minute.
You don't do things like that with children.
Our children.
You are the pedophile.
How can you call me that? I'm trying to protect the kid from being a pedophile.
You're not protecting anything. You're the one looking up the skirt, not.
Well, how do you identify what color her underwear
is? The police, the teachers are trained. This gentleman that's a teacher in whatever grade he's in elementary school.
Third grade.
You know, I applaud the man. He went, got a college education, is teaching. He's going to make good. He's probably...
Well, let me ask you something. What about these guys...
I mean, maybe he wants to move up.
What about these guys that...
Maybe he's the job.
What about these guys that play with trains?
That doesn't mean a damn thing.
The hell it doesn't. They're looking at them going in and out of the tunnel. That doesn't mean anything.
You know, only in your mind.
You are a freak. You know that?
Only in your mind.
If I even thought you were in my neighborhood taking notes on my own kids.
All right, let me ask you something.
If you're in my school taking notes on my kids, especially their underwear of all things.
Well, wait a minute. All right.
I would take care of business.
No, wait a minute.
Not only would I report you, I would probably get the other fathers together.
Wait a second.
And I would take care of business.
No, wait a minute. Who's going to keep track of your daughter's panties if I don't? If you're the kind of guy that is going to be...
What do you mean?
There might not be anybody keeping track of my daughter's panties.
Well, how do you know whether somebody took them off or not?
Tell me. She's 9 years old, almost 10. She can probably tell me whether or not she's doing something like that. We have a pretty good relationship as far as communication goes. And if I even thought, if I even thought you were there taking notes, especially not
right,
in notebooks...
Well, Tori, what is your name, Ken?
My name is Ken, and my daughter's name is Tori.
I bought... probably the finest pair of naval binoculars that you can buy.
Yeah, you are a freak.
You bought what?
I bought.
You're a freak. Binoculars. You're a freak.
They're Navy issue binoculars.
So you can see what?
So in other words, I'm supposed to sit in the car across the street and be able to make out their panties from there. Is that what?
Oh,
both
man.
Of you? No, I want to know.
Man.
Are both of you guys?
Okay, you're gonna get into trouble.
Somebody needs to call the police and this. Guys, town and have them do the books and look at the internet site.
Oh, see now
needs to be reported.
You're making me out to be the bad guy.
Yeah,
you're the bad guy.
Navy issue binoculars so you can see up their skirt.
So I can see what color the flowers are in the panties, so I can make notes.
Tell you what, buddy, you come to my neighborhood and I'll take care of business.
Oh, do you need somebody to do that work in your neighborhood? All right.
No, I think what he means is...
You come to my neighborhood and do that, and I will take care of business. Make it out of my neighborhood.
What do you mean you'll take care of business?
He's going to kick your ass.
Exactly.
Oh, so you've made me the bad guy simply because I want to look up some kid's dress.
You look up little girl's skirt, you're
flashback.
There you go, Austin. Very good. All right, 1-800-449... Austin, no, that was Vernon Dozier. I can't keep track of these characters. I are them, but I don't know who they am. See? Phil Henry Show.